Hello and welcome to the Coaches Forum hosted by These Football Times. I'm your host, John Townsend, and today I am joined by a friend of mine, a colleague in the game, a coach who's personally coached me in my journey, and someone that I look up to and look to for resources and guidance, and who is not only talked the talk, but he's walked the walk abroad and back here at home at basically every level. My friend Mike Keeney. Mike, how are you doing?
Hi, John. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's always great to talk to you. I know you and I have, we go back several years. You were one of my coaches when I was a collegiate player, and you have this great view of the game, and I think people listening will have a lot to learn from not only your experience, but your continued learning. I think you're one of these people that I consider a lifelong learner in the game. And I think a lot of coaches, claim to be, but you have actually, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, gone through most, if not every level, at least amateur-wise here in the United States. And you've coached professionally abroad, and you've got a varied level of experience and a whole bunch of cultures, which is kind of really what I want to talk about today. So I guess, you know, you played the game as a young person, and you obviously had the, I don't know if there's a traditional American route as a player. I think it's one of these things where the more you get into it, the more you find that every player's journey is got some similarities, but there's some unique qualities. What really got you into coaching after your days playing the game when you were younger?
Yeah, well, it's quite interesting because, I grew up, I was born just outside New York City, but I pretty much grew up in California. And, you know, that for me was where I learned the game. My father was, a youth coach. He coached me a little bit, but primarily my sister. And so I was always one of these players that he would drag in and say, hey, can you come help at practice? And I'd go to the training, and I was only a year or two older than my sister and her teammates, but I was there. And then, I really liked that side of it. You know, I was still playing and still doing my stuff, but that was my first like introduction to coaching. I think I was 14 when I actually attended my first D license. My father was taking the course, but I was there as one of the actual players that they needed to do it. But I sat in on the course the whole time. And over the years, as I started, playing and going to a higher level as a player, I still always was interested in how to coach, how to do it. And one of the things that really helped me a lot in my early days is when I was 18, 19, 20 years old, I was doing a lot of working for Soccer Plus Goalkeeping School during the summers, and I was fortunate enough to be with Tony DiCicco for many years. Some of the other coaches there were people like Chris Ducar and Billy Steffens, just to name a few, and that was really good. I also did post-to-post striker school and goalkeeper school. So right there, you were in and around these high-end coaches all summer long, and I was still a player. So for me, it was great. I was working with players during the day, but also seeing how some of the best coaches in the country were working with players for 6, 8, 10 weeks a summer. So for me, that was really good. And in kind of a bad way, I actually injured my knee, and I ended up having 3 different surgeries on my knee, which kind of eventually forced me out of the game, and I wasn't able to compete at the level which I really wanted to. And that kind of, not say forced me into coaching, but made me really gravitate that way because I wanted to still be around the game. And my first avenue was, continue to do goalkeeping and doing some individual stuff with players and teams. But eventually I got involved coaching in youth clubs and working in the college. And after a few years of working in college, I was able to have a good enough, I'd say a good enough grasp of the games that I knew I didn't want to focus solely on goalkeeping, and I started really pushing myself towards working with teams and became an assistant coach, and I worked for some good coaches, you know, that I can learn from, not only at the university level, but also for me as a young coach. I did a lot of like summer camps. You know, this is a huge business in America, but for me, I was able to go around the country in the summer learning from other coaches. And that to me was a real eye opener, because you got to see different ways of coaches working, got to talk with different coaches. You got to experience a lot more information than just when you were at home doing your own thing. And so for me, that was what really kind of got me hooked on the education side of the game. All in all, you know, for me, that those early years were very, very formative. I was also one of the things that I encourage anybody, regardless of what level they're working on, is get with a group of other coaches, other friends, other colleagues who will give you honest feedback. One of the things that I am really proud about is I have a group of friends that when I was in my early 20s, we were all coaching together at the youth club. I was still also coaching at the university. But one of the things that I was able to get from these group of friends was I was very fortunate to be around a group of coaches that told me what I needed to hear, not what I wanted to hear. And what I mean by that is we were friends, but we were also colleagues in the game. So I would go watch their training. I would watch their team play. They would come watch my training. They would watch my team play. And we would give each other constant feedback. And not in a way that would belittle each other, but in a way that made you think, hey, you know, you were doing this today at training. What about this? Did you think about this option? Did you think about this alternative? And it was really good because it got you to really focus on what you were doing and really think through the objectives that you were going for. And you know, were you able to get the outcome out of training that you wanted to? And if not, how can you adjust it? And that was one of the things that was really great is I was able to open up these discussions with this group of friends. And even to this day, here I am 25 years later, I still talk to these guys all the time. We're all over the country, all over the world, but we still communicate quite a bit just to discuss it. And it was something that I think it really helped me as a coach and really helped me grow and develop. And again, I was young, I would say between 21 to 24, 25, like those few years, it really helped me. Then when I really started focusing on coaching as a career, I worked at University of Louisville, then University of Kentucky, then Alabama, Birmingham. And, you know, after doing the college circuit for 10 years, after that, I really thought, hey, I wanted to get around the professional game. And again, at the schools I'd worked at and being with some of those coaches, I mean, I worked with you know, Tony Colavecchia, Ian Collins at Kentucky, and Mike Gettman. And these coaches would always give me good feedback and really encourage me to pursue my dream of working abroad. And when I had the opportunity to come over, I came over to Finland and pretty much jumped into it right away. And for me, I really haven't really looked back. I've been working abroad now over 12 years. I've been in Finland, Slovakia, worked for Oceania Football Confederation and did stuff in Papua New Guinea. As far as like continuing the education myself, I've done all the levels of the UEFA coaching schools here. I did the B license when I first arrived, then the UEFA A license, and I've since done the pro license. So for me, it was great to really see how things are done, not only in America, but also, you know, here in Finland and in Europe.
I think a lot of times people fear feedback. I think it's one of those challenging aspects of the game as a player, as a coach especially. And it sounds as though like you were around so many good coaches, such a high level, such a varied level and a bunch of entry points into the game, that feedback to you became a tool and a tool that you could sharpen and use to your advantage. I think a lot of people equate feedback with criticism or negativity. You know, have you seen, as you've gone abroad, you discussed that journey from the American game over to the game internationally. How have you taken feedback and used it in your journey there in terms of like, did you find people were underestimating your understanding of the game, or did they, you know, you felt they were dumbing it down for you at all, or how did you balance that as you know, started integrating into different cultures and systems as a coach now abroad?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, there's many different ways to it. I think one of the things that initially when I came over, what happened a lot of times, I would do training and things would go. I'd train a team or a player a couple times, and then finally, when you get to know them and speak to them, oh well, what part of England are you from? Well, I'm not. I'm from America. Oh, but speak English. Yeah, we speak English in America. So they automatically assumed that I was, you know, English or British, because in the history there had been so many other coaches coming from you know, Britain over to you know, Scandinavia and Finland. And so many of them, they, oh, you're from America. Well, what are you doing over here? Well, I told them, well, what are you, I thought, you know, football wasn't so big in America. I said, yeah, well, it's quite big. We, you know, I said, I grew up in an area where they've been playing well over, you know, 100 years. You know, the San Francisco Soccer Football League was having its 100-year anniversary back in the 1990s. Oh, really? Oh, I had no idea. I said, yeah, you know, we have a big history. I said, it's just many times people over here in Europe don't understand that the long history there is of success in the game in America. But what's televised or what's been shown over the years is that the game hasn't exploded on the professional scene until, you know, recently with the MLS. But, you know, before that, everybody kind of thought it was a backwater. And, you know, when you come over here and you do a good job and people see the type of training that you give and your passion and knowledge of the game, one of the reasons why I really enjoy working over here in Finland is people respect that and they reward that. You're rewarded over here by the quality of your work and the job that you do, not who you played for or what name you are. And that's something that I really like over here is, you know, if you can show your ability, you're rewarded on the success that you have.
That's such a different way of operating than I think a lot of my experiences, and I think the shared experience for a lot of coaches is it's not, you know, we hear all the time, it's not what you know, it's who you know. I think that's a very common phrase, especially here in the States, but also I think in a lot of places. But the flipping that on its head, and you know, the merits of your work and the qualities speak much larger volumes than the connections you have or the reputation that's perceived. I think that's a really fascinating point. What would you say would be the impact of culture that's, you know, has played in your life and in your career from country to country? You mentioned different places that you've actually coached and held positions in outside of the US. There's got to be language barriers, there's cultural barriers, there's learning all sorts of life lessons as well as football-based lessons. How has culture impacted your journey and even your life abroad, from coming from where you were and then now you're in Finland, but just in general, how would you say, you know, culture impacted you from a perspective of, you know, the language barriers, the, you know, preconceived notions, and anything else that you would kind of highlight on some?
Well, I think one of the big things in order to be have any type of success, regardless of the level, is you have to be open to learn about new cultures and respect those. And that's one of the things that, you know, I try to do as much as possible. For me, coming from America, everybody has the thought that, hey, all you're going to do is talk a lot. You're going to be loud. You're going to be boisterous. You're going to be very cavalier. And yeah, I think we do have some of those qualities, but there's a lot more to me than that. You know, when I come to Finland, everybody says, oh, Finns are grumpy. They don't talk. They're very silent people. Well, they are when they don't know you. But when they know you, it's just like any changing room that I've been in America. You know, when I worked in Slovakia, it was a very unique situation in the fact that we had players that were, you know, from Slovakia, but inside of that group, we had Slovak speaking players, we had Hungarian speaking players, and then throw in the fact that Fluminense owned the club and they sent 9 players from Brazil over who spoke Portuguese. So in this changing room, we had a very different culture. You know, we had, you know, technically like 3 groups that each spoke their own language, but we were all inside the same team. So for me, it was very important in the beginning when we're working with these players is after the first 2 days we're in training, before we started training each day, they kind of separated and they were, you know, passing a ball or doing whatever, but they were in their own language groups. So I pretty much said, boys, come on in. And these are, you know, full on professional players. I said, okay, you 5 guys cannot be with the rest of that group. You have to find somebody new. You had to find somebody new and really integrated the players and made it a big part of my job so that they got to know each other. They got to find a common language. They had to find a way to communicate. And I think those are one of the things when you talk culturally, if you're not open and receptive to listening and putting yourself out there to accept new experiences and new cultures, you're going to have a hard time. You know, if I talk about my time in Oceania, which is very different, I was in Papua New Guinea for nearly 1 year. And in that culture, it's very much a traditional culture, for like a traditional island culture. But just on the island itself, I believe it's either 800 different languages from tribe to tribe. So it was very interesting trying to get players and bring everybody in to have everybody work together. You really had to understand the people there. You couldn't speak to the players the same way you would speak to adult professional players in America or in England or even here in Scandinavia. You had to be a little bit, I don't say gentler, but you had to less shouting, a little bit more speaking of a lower voice, understand the way in which the society works. The more you showed them the respect that you understood their culture, the more receptive they were to you. And I think that was very important.
I think in terms of, you know, learning how to understand the person before the player, how has that shaped you personally? Have you changed your approach as a human being? You know, I think has it affected how you talk to people back here in the States or abroad? Like, do you see that difference that you've gained from being immersed in so many different places and having so many entry points in the game? Do you see the growth? And not to say that people here don't grow, but do you see how different your journey has made you as a person?
Yeah, well, it's one of these things. I was talking about this a few days ago with one of my friends. Is I said, I wish I could go back to when I was 23, because at 23, I knew everything. Now at 46, I realized, damn, I still have a whole lot to learn. So it's one of those things that, you know, for me, when you talk about the journey, I think I continue to grow and to evolve as a coach and as a person. Every season is different. You're working with different players. You're working in an ever-changing society. And I think the way in which I was able to coach a player like you in your generation, I couldn't do the same here at this day and age. Just because of how society's changed and how the culture in society has developed. And I don't say it's wrong or right, but I say as a coach, you cannot go through an entire season giving players the hairdryer treatment and shouting and screaming and shouting, because nowadays those players don't respond to that. Whereas a previous generation, like when I was a player, that was coaching. You know, so now I think the expectations of the players, especially at the professional level, is their demands are higher. You know, that it's not just about running and being yelled at. They want to know the tactics. Why are we doing this? How are we doing this? And you as a coach have to be confident in yourself to be able to give your answer. And when they have questions, you have to be able to give them reasons why. And I think for me as a coach, one of the things that I've always tried to do is treat the player not as a player, but as an individual, as a person, and you can speak to them. And I think this is when you're winning and things are going well, it's never a problem. But when you really become better at your trade is when you're losing, because then you have to really look at what's going wrong and then have to communicate with the players to have them buy into what you're doing, for them to understand it, for them to say, okay, I understand, we're going to change this because X, Y, and Z. And I think that's one of those things that when you talk about developing yourself, you have to be strong enough as a person over the years to say, hey, how am I when as I say, you know, the chips are down and we're not getting the results? That's the time where I think you grow the most as a coach and as a person, because you're faced with you know, in the professional game, you lose one or two matches at the wrong time, you're out of a job. So it's being able to take a hard look at what you're doing, make the changes that you need, and then be able to communicate that to the players in a way that they're receptive. I mean, it takes a lot to be able to do that. And I think the way I would have done it 20 years and the way I 20 years ago compared to how I do it today, very different.
No, I think one of the hardest lessons I learned as a young coach, so I started coaching when I was 22, 23, thought I knew everything, and I thought I could train players the way I was trained, which was immediately, like, impossible. And this is a point when you're still young enough to play at a high level, and you see the game one way, and then you look at these players coming up, and you're almost harder on them because you just have left that environment, or you're still learning as a person yourself at such a young age. So you mentioned those 23, 24-year-old age where you know everything. I do think that a lot of coaches that I had, especially, I kind of put them in two categories, the ones that were educators and the ones that were, I think, more expressive but didn't know enough about themselves, and therefore they knew little about the game. I think that's a pretty typical split. When you talk about how this factors into your professional and personal growth, what are some goals that you've set for yourself as a coach or an educator? And I know you've done some coaching education at a very, very high level, the highest levels, and as an ambassador for the game. What are some goals that you have that maybe extend beyond the touchline? Do you have goals to continue in the professional game? Do you have different types of things that you've written down, or you've mapped out a framework for yourself as you amassed all this experience?
One of the things I did when I was young or really getting into this profession, I kind of step back and say, okay, what do I want to get out of this? You know, what am I looking for? And initially I thought, okay, this is a way to stay involved with the game. You know, when I stopped playing, I missed that camaraderie, and I thought, okay, going into coaching, I can still get that. And I did for a little bit, but then the more I got involved, I thought, hey, if I'm going to do this, I want to do this to the best of my ability. And that's when I really started to say, okay, where do I want to go? And I always had a dream of playing in Europe when I was a player, and that didn't come through. So I thought, okay, I want to work in Europe as a coach. And that was kind of my target. And when the opportunity came to you know, go from being a youth coach to a college coach, then from the college coach to a professional coach, I took the chance, and that chance brought me over here to Europe. And, you know, from here, what am I looking to do? You know, I was fortunate enough to be able to work with the national teams when I was in Papua New Guinea. I worked as an educator for Oceania Football Confederation, doing the FIFA courses and doing those things. I worked with Fluminense, and not only did I coach the team that they owned in Slovakia, but I went to the academy in Brazil there and instructed their coaches, did a coaching course for their academy coaches. So, you know, those are the things that I like. You know, I love the day-to-day interaction with players. This is something that I would find it hard to give that up at the moment. But if I were to give it up and move into a different role, I think the role I would like to do is working with the next generation of coaches. And that would be something I think being able to share, especially I would say back home in America, is being able to share my experiences having gone through all levels of the game in the States, but also now working abroad in, you know, several different countries, you know, being able to share those experiences with the next generation where that could go further than I can and work at the even the higher level. You know, that'd be something I kind of see for myself, you know, down the road. But that might be a few years down the road because, honestly, I love being out with the players each day on the pitch. And that to me is my goal. Being able to get up each day, go out, do training with the players, have a little bit of work in the afternoon, going through videos with the players, doing individual training with the players, doing the match review stuff. I just enjoy that. I don't know if I'm in a position right now where I just would come back and feel comfortable sitting behind a desk week in, week out. So right now where I'm at in my career, that's kind of where I'm leaning towards at least a few more years out on the training ground with the players.
Let's talk about that a little bit. So first, where are you currently? Yeah, I know you're in Finland, and let's talk about your journey there a little bit, but then let's also, you did highlight the fact that there is another generation of players or coaches who were players who maybe have a different view, a more open view than current or previous generations. Where are you now, and what level are you at, and what role are you playing there? You discussed you do some individual training, some video training, you're on the touchline. Talk us through that a little bit. I think I am always curious to see where you are because you've gone so many places. So give us an insight into that.
Yeah, I'm in Helsinki. I'm at a club called HIFK, H-I-F-K. It's Helsinki IFK. It's in the Veikkausliiga, which is the top league here in Finland. It's a historic club. It's been around since, I think it's 1897. So I joined them this past December. Again, for me, I'm the assistant coach here, and I also work with our academy coaches, trying to help develop them and work with them with their planning their sessions, executing of their sessions, and those sort of things. As far as my previous clubs here in Finland, I've worked with Coops for 2 years, which is Kuopio Palloseura. We took that team two times to Europa League. I've worked at MIPA, which is called Millikoski Pallo, with them two times to Europa League with them. I've also been with Sudet, Vikingit, AIF, which is Ekenäs Idrottsförening, and also with Ekenäs Sport Club. Those last few, one was in the first division, and the other three were in the second division. Working in Slovakia, I was at a club called STK Šamorin, or as they say in Slovak, Eštika. But I was there with them for 1 year, and that was in the second division, like not the top tier, but the division below that. You know, for me, one of the big things I like about having had the path that I've had is you get to see the game in different ways. And what that means is the players that we're working with, like, for example, when I was at Coops, we had one player who played in the World Cup in Russia. We had two other players who played in the World Cup in Brazil. So that was, you know, some guys who worked at a high level. From that team, we had a handful of players who were in the Finnish national team, and we had even more players who were in one Estonian national team. And one of the big successes at Coops was that at one time we had 19 different players who represented their country, either at the senior level or like the U20 ones. So it was really good to be able to work with those type of players. Now where I'm at with HIFK, we have two players who are with the full national team and a handful of younger youth national team players. One of the big things that is really good here with the group of players that we're working with is we've got a few older players who are kind of on the I don't want to say the downward side of their career, but we also have a good group of young, talented players on their way up. So it's a really good environment when you get to work. Like one of our players played at Fulham for a year or two, and now he's in his early 30s. And we also have a one of the young talents here in Finland who's an upcoming player in the U20s, and they play right next to each other. So it's really good to be able to be involved with those guys each day, because you have a guy who has the experience of having played in the championship and the Premier League in England right next to a kid who's got the dream of playing in those places. So being able to work with them each day, it's what I enjoy right now, is really helping one more player get the best out of his career, the most of his career, and a younger player trying to achieve his goals. And so for me, working with those guys, that right now is like, how do I say, what I really enjoy. I know I got off topic a little bit there, but as far as the daily work here, to give you an idea of how we work, right now in the season, we're in the preseason. Well, at the moment, we're postponed because the right. The virus here. But as it works is, in most days here, we have in the morning the players have their fitness training with our fitness coaches. They do that two times a week, and other days they do individual training, and then we do our training in the afternoon, usually around 2 o'clock, from 2 to 4 o'clock. This is not our ideal time, but due to the way the stadium is shared and the facilities are shared, we're training on the opposite. In other clubs when I've been, we've always usually done the training in the morning, then we have lunch, and then in the afternoon we would do some of the physical training or the video training or individual sessions. But right now, because of the winter, that kind of affects our planning here in Scandinavia. It's not really something you run into in California. There's not 3, 4, 5 feet of snow on the ground. But here, that's one of the big things that really affects the how you train and when you train. We're fortunate enough that we have full-size indoor halls that we can train in wintertime. And usually around March is when we step out to train in the stadium and train outdoors. But again, this year, with how we've been affected by this virus, it's kind of put everything on postponed. We're on a 3-week holiday at the moment.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're going to hopefully start up in June. So in terms of your personal philosophy of coaching, that has to have changed over the years. What would you say your general philosophy of coaching is, because you have such a wide-ranging scope of experiences? And I guess what I'm talking about here is, what do you fundamentally believe in? What are some core principles that you'd like to share and expand upon, or even evolve as you continue your journey? Because one of the things that you said that's really striking to me is you are living the life of a coach that you wanted to live. And I think that that's a really important thing. I see so many coaches who are dissatisfied with where they're at, or they're always looking to the future, never appreciating where they are at the present. Or they're stuck in the past, which I'm sure will resonate with a lot of people. So your personal philosophy of coaching, what are some core tenets of that? What are some foundational things? What are some beliefs that you have that hold true or prove universal? Or how has that changed as you've continued your journey?
Well, there's one thing that I like to look at, and it's a simple thing for me. And I usually ask the players, especially in the early days, is, what do they want to get from this? And from there, I can help them. If some of them are just playing as hobby players, great. If some are wanting to play at the highest possible level of their skill, okay, great. And I'll then adjust my individual training philosophy with those players according to that. But if we step back and say, okay, what are my fundamental beliefs? about the game. I think one of the biggest things that I found out as a coach and as a player, but as a coach, sometimes you forget it. But I want people to enjoy themselves. This is something that it sounds professional game. You have to win. You have to win. You have to win. You know how much easier it is to get players to do the extra bit when they're enjoying what they're doing. That's the key to it. If you're in an environment and the players aren't enjoying what they're doing, it doesn't matter what you say as a coach. It's not going to work. So for me, when we step back from that, okay, I want to help the players get to reach their potential. I want them to enjoy themselves. Okay, how can I do it best? And that's what I look at. So, okay, biggest thing, how are they with the ball? Are they comfortable with the ball? Are they comfortable under pressure? Are they, do they have what we call technique on demand? Can they hit a ball with their right and left foot? Can they control the ball with their right and left foot? Okay, great. Now can they do it at speed? Now can they do it under pressure? Now can they do it on bad conditions? Okay, great. Now what's next? Okay, let's look on the other side of the ball. How are they are defending? This is one of the things that I mean, talk about fundamental beliefs. I believe every player on the pitch has to be able to be sound at defending. It's one of the things that I think people don't spend enough time nowadays teaching how to defend properly. Everybody wants to do all the tricks and all the special lifts with the ball and all these different skills. But I'd pay a lot of money for a guy who wins every tackle, wins every header, can when they win the ball, pass the ball simply out. Those things are something that I think if we can get somebody who's comfortable on the ball, whose defense is sound, and most of all, they understand the basic principles of the game. How do we create numbers up when we have the ball? How do we force play one way when we're defending? How do we take advantage in transition from attack to defense and from defense to attack? If we can just work on those basic things, then I can help the player reach higher. But as far as fundamental, those core basic things, skill acquisition, good defensive defending techniques, and the basic understanding of, how to take advantage of numbers up or how to take advantage of space. I mean, for me, those are the real basic principles of the game that I believe in. From there, then we can expand and go much further. And from there, I like to dive into a lot more in, I'd say, not just individual game, but small group tactics and small group play, and then bring it to larger part of the game. But most of all, when I look at it as a coach, I try to step back and look at it and say, if I was that player, would I be enjoying what I'm doing? Am I learning to get better and improve my game? If so, then I think I've hit what I'm looking for. I hope that makes sense.
No, it does. I think every coach I've had that I've respected and who's respected me and has made me want to run through a brick wall for them, I think that is the key. I think, and I mean that kind of in the, in the literal sense, where it's like, when the chips are down, when that you're investing in the player and the player's buying into whatever the message is, I think that is the combination that you hope for, and the results are almost less important than that balance. And I know that this is a great segue into a question that I've always been interested in with high level coaches. Who are some influential mentors or figures that have helped you in your coaching journey? Who do you try to emulate? I don't mean this in terms of, I'm going to do the Sterling Ferguson hairdryer treatment or anything like that, or I'm going to have the antics like that. But I mean, who are some figures? They don't have to be football related. They could be, anyone that really helped shape your journey in the game and continue to do so, that you maybe, I call it the cookie jar effect. You reach the cookie jar, or you pull this lesson out, you pull this quote out, or you pull this time you had with this person, out and you can kind of apply it to your life currently?
Yeah, well, I'd say early on, one of the things I did, especially early in my career when I was at University of Louisville, I spent a lot of time reading a lot of biographies about coaches. And one of the ones that always stood out to me was Jack Charlton. And for two reasons. One, I'm Irish and I loved how they played in the World Cup when he was the manager. And two, he made things very simple. And that was one of the things that when you saw how he did stuff, if the player got the ball in this position, you're either going to run in this area and the ball is going to deliver it in this space, or you're going to be run into this area and the ball is going to be delivered in that space. And he made it simple for the players to understand, and they were effective in getting results. One of the other, I'd say two of the other coaches that were really big for me, I read a lot about them, and at the end of the day, I was really, I'd say, super lucky to meet. Is I was able to meet Arsene Wenger one time and speak with him, but I read all his books, and I loved his approach to the game. He went after every detail. There was nothing too small for him to look at. And this went everywhere in the football, in the club, in the business. And I found that like just it blew my head open. I was so, you know, so blown away by this. You know, it's one of the things that has helped me in my career, because he talked about languages. You know, when he's working with players, you know, he speaks, you know, many different languages. I thought, hey, if I'm going to coach, I want to do that. Now, at this moment, I'm comfortable speaking up to five languages, because not a full on huge communication, but enough to speak to a player in their own language on the pitch. You know, telling a player how to turn, how tell them how to shoot in their own language. I think respecting a player that way, that was something that I'd never thought about, but until I read some of his information. And one of the other coaches I met who just truly, truly like made me look at the game and say, wow, the way he handles this is a complete, I don't say a whole 180 from what Arsene Wenger does, but it was Harry Redknapp. I was fortunate enough to meet him, and his personality and his the way he was laughing and joking and telling stories and really just such a like jolly character. And then when we sat down to talk about the football and about the players, I actually had two players on loan from Tottenham that played for me, and we sat down with him having an actual English breakfast, pot of tea, sitting there talking. It was just like I'd known him 10 years, and he made me feel so like relaxed, saying, here's one of the guys that's one of the top coaches in the game, in the English game, and possibly around the world. And he was talking to me like you and I sitting around hanging out at the end of the day, you know. And that really was eye opening for me. You know, a couple other coaches that I really have to mention, because I think they were really key in my own development, is in my early days as I told you, I worked with Tony DiCicco doing the goalkeeping schools. You know, he was a real big influence early on. When I worked at the University of Louisville, working with Tony Kalavecchia, again, he really helped me understand and get into the business. But I think where I really learned my trade was when I worked with Ian Collins at University of Kentucky and with Mike Getman at Alabama Birmingham. But there's one other coach that I really have to mention. Is I was very fortunate for years to work at Indiana soccer camp and had a very good relationship with Coach Jerry Yeagley. And he was very influential on me on just – he was one of the most successful college coaches in America. And no matter when or where, he took the time to speak to me and talk to me and really encourage me. And even to this day, I'm in contact with all of those coaches still. Not so much, I'd say not Harry Redknapp or Arsene Wenger, but I meant, you know, the other coaches who I'd previously worked with. But, you know, here in Finland, I have to say, you know, there was a few coaches that I've worked with, which were really good. And the first one is Tony Quirque Conis is his name, but we call him Toke. And he and I worked together initially at Vikingit, then at MIPA. He's gone on now to be the assistant coach with the Finnish men's national team and working with their coaching education. But, you know, he really helped me get on my feet here in Europe. And he's one of these coaches that really, really has the same vision and ideas as myself. And we were able to work with each other really well. And one of the other coaches that has really helped me, especially in my coaching education, but here when you do like the A license or the pro license, you have a mentor. And that mentor not only instructs the courses, but he comes and watches your training. He follows you throughout the length of the course. And the course is, you know, anywhere from 14 to 18 months. And I was lucky enough to have Marko Kanavara, who's the Finnish men's national team head coach. He was my mentor for both the A license and the pro license. And, you know, he was very helpful in, when you talk about getting feedback, when you talk about, you know, speaking about the game, super, super nice guy, extremely knowledgeable about the game, but also down to earth. And I think you see that now in the current Finnish national team. For the first time ever in the history, they've qualified for the Euros. And I think this is due to how he coaches, you know. And for me, being able to have both, you know, the head coach and the assistant coach as resources, you know, for me to pick up the phone to bounce ideas off of, it's been tremendous for me. And that's one of those things that, you know, being in a country like Finland, where it is such a small coaching circles, that you're able to work with these type of people. The other coach that for me, one year at MIPA, I worked with a coach called Antti Muurinen. He was former Finnish national team coach. He was former HJK coach. Actually took them into the group stages of the Champions League. I was his assistant for 1 year, and it was really interesting time to working with him. I got to see a lot of how he worked, and you know, for me, it was very, very eye opening. So, you know, having been here in this culture, you know, this environment, I was able to work with some of the best coaches that they have here in Finland, and I'm going to take that with me the rest of my life.
I think the game is so, so powerful in that you can build these lifelong relationships. You can learn so much. And it sounds like a lot of these coaches that you admire, you pull from, are just genuinely good people, and they're respectful, and they don't use their status or their accomplishment to relegate people who, you know, maybe aren't of that circle. I think some of the best coaches I've ever had, and even best bosses I've had in my other life in corporate America, have been people who've accomplished a ton, who probably have forgotten more than many people will ever know, but have a sense of respect and patience and interest in learning from others as well as what they know. And I think that's a extremely important lesson. And I think that's something that,
I would say, if I could jump in on that just for a second, sure. Just to give you an idea, one of the things I learned, and this is something that I focus a lot on myself, is how you speak and what you say is very important. And one of the things that I won't say which coach I work with, but I both of these examples, I've worked with coaches that are like this. The coach that says, I've done this, I did this, or the coach that says, hey, we did this, we accomplished this, we, you know, this is where we made the mistake. And I was very fortunate to work with one coach, and you know, I've worked with several, but one of the big ones was I worked with a coach who received the manager of the month as the head coach. And the first thing he said when he came back was, I didn't win this, we did. And he's talking about the entire staff, the assistant coaches, the goalkeeping coach, the fitness coach, the lady who washes the kit, you know, the person who helps feed the meals to everybody. And I've worked with other coaches where it was, I won the coach of the month. You know, I won the manager of the month. And it's one of those things that when you are on a coaching staff and you're working with people, when you hear them say we, you buy into it. When you hear them say I, you kind of step back and say, oh, this is about you. It's not about us. And that was one of the things that when you talk about how you treat people and how you work with players and how you work with your staff, I think in 2 minutes of speaking to somebody, you could find out how they are when it comes to players and respect and staff and respect.
Yeah, one of the first things on my recruiting trip to Kentucky, Ian said, you only get one chance at a first impression. And that you know, and he has some other, you know, he's a master of wordplay, but he had quite a few memorable quotes that we can't say here. But he did impart some of those lessons that they're one-liners that they didn't really address the playing side. They were more, this is a life thing that you should take and run with it and apply it, and hopefully it takes you somewhere. And so I've used some of the things that, you know, my collegiate coaches have imparted on me, and they've taken me very far in my life, within the game and without the game. So let's talk about, as we wrap up here, obviously current and future goals to get everyone healthy and back playing the game we all love, and hope sounds like in June for your club. What are some future plans or your current plans that you have that are obviously the season kicking off would be great for everybody, but yeah. Do you have anything that maybe it brings you back stateside, or, you know, I know we talked about you be doing a mentorship or a program for coaches who could, you know, definitely benefit from the knowledge and experience you have. Are there any other things that you'd like to share before we let you get on with your evening?
Well, I think, you know, personally, would I like to get back to the States? As we talked about, yeah, eventually I would like to. You know, do I have any specific set goals of, hey, I want to come back and, you know, be a state director or be a head coach or assistant coach at the professional level? I don't have anything like that on the books right now, but I'm always open to it. But one of the things I would like to say is, you know, in the meantime, if any of the coaches or anybody listening to this is interested, I'm more than willing to speak with them. You know, feel free to contact me on Twitter or something like this. I'm one of these guys that I was fortunate enough to be around a lot of good coaches and a lot of good people that helped me in my career and really helped share their experience and their knowledge with me. And I'd be definitely open and ready to do that with other coaches. One of the big things about, you know, taking a step abroad or taking a step out of your home country, out of your comfort zone, is there is risk to it. And there's been, you know, quite many times where things have not gone well, but I've learned from it and grown from it. And I would rather help somebody else avoid those pitfalls and be able to, you know, not make the mistakes that I made. And those are something that I think that, you know, for the next generation of coaches who want to come over or for those who, even in the stateside, you know, there's different ways to get involved in the game. You know, there's different levels, you know, not just the MLS and USL, but, you know, there's other options, other opportunities to work in football that are not always obvious to people. And, you know, being a GM, being an agent, being a sports director, you know, these type of things, I deal with them every day. So again, trying to shed some light on how you navigate that as a coach, it's important. And I'd be, you know, happy to share my experience with individuals.
So on that note, Mike, and this is exactly what this platform is for, is connecting dots and putting people in positions where they can, by extension, meet and learn about the guests that we bring on. Where can people find you? At least I know on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
Yeah, it's at @Mike_Keeney. And that's probably the best way to reach me.
Okay.
There's also, you know, Instagram. I also have a my own personal website, which is linked on in my bio on Twitter. So, you know, I try to push everybody through Twitter or at Instagram.
Yeah,
and Twitter's Instagram a great filter. And Instagram's still the same. It's Mike_Keeney.
Okay, and Mike, I really appreciate you coming on, sharing some of your journey with us. We'll get you back on again when everyone is hopefully playing football again and you're coaching and we can, again, reach out. I would like to thank the listeners for, obviously, no one has anything going on at the moment, but this is an opportunity to learn and connect some dots, and I think we all want to get back to the game we all love. As always, make sure you visit These Football Times. Check out the magazine. It's been one of the main drivers of print football collateral that's gone out, and I think it's one of the best magazines to date. And Mike, again, thanks so much for coming on, and I know we'll talk soon.
John, thank you very much, and I really appreciate These Football Times having me on.
Thank you for listening to the Coaches Forum by These Football Times. Be sure to check out These Football Times online for some of the best long-form, authentic journalism and football storytelling on offer.